There were others. Alan Johns had been one, Jamie DeCurry another, for whom a sense of caution had been inbred, but that had never been the case with Roland, whose tendency had been to shoot first and ask questions later. "Nancy told you to read the plaque in the Garden of the Beam," Marion said.
"Did Garden of the Beam say God?"
Moses Carver interjected. On the walk down the corridor to his daughter's office, he had picked a cane out of a faux elephant footstand, and now he thumped it on the expensive carpet for emphasis. Marion bore this patiently.
"Say God, bomb!"
"My father's recent friendship with the Reverend Harrigan, who holds court down below, has not been the high point in my life," Marion said with a sigh. "But never mind. Did you read the plaque, Roland?" He nodded. Nancy Deepnow had used a different word, sign or sigil, but he understood it came to the same. "The letters changed into great letters. I could read it very well."
"And what did it say?"
"Given by the Tet Corporation, in honor of Edward Cantor Dean and John Jake Chambers." He paused. "Then it said, Kama Kamal, Priatwa Gandila, which you might say as white over red, thus Gan wills ever.
And to us it says, good over evil, this is the will of God," Marion said.
"God be praised," Moses Carver said and thumped his cane. "May the prim rise."
There was a perfunctory knock at the door, and then the woman from the outer desk came in, carrying a silver tray. Roland was fascinated to see a small black knob suspended in front of her lips and a narrow black armature that disappeared into her hair. Some sort of far-speaking device, surely. Nancy Deepnow and Marion Carver helped her set out steaming cups of tea and coffee, bowls of sugar and honey, a crock of cream. There was also a plate of sandwiches. Roland's stomach rumbled. He thought of his friends in the ground, no more popkins for them. And also of Irene Tassenbaum, sitting in the little park across the street, patiently waiting for him.